wonder if we could maybe ask a bit about the records that you've collected together.
Oh, of course, yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
So, I know you've told us about this, but I'll ask anyway.
Okay.
So have you ever looked into your own case file that Abelauer has for you?
Quite simply, no, I haven't. I know my records are available on file, but I have never, ever asked to have them. Now, it may well be that as I get on in years and I want to leave some sort of legacy or some sort of understanding what my life was like for my own children and grandchildren and future generations, it may well be that I'll ask to have them in my possession. But I feel I've never got to that stage because I've got no plans of dying at the moment.
I'm glad to hear that. Huh? Glad to hear that.
And then you've got you've collected together various, you know, records and historic documents. Could you tell us a wee bit about what you've got in your collection?
Well, it's interesting because at the time when I went back to Aberlour, I had already had, I don't know where I got them from, but I had quite a lot of information about Aberlour. But when I moved back to the Aberlour area and I stayed there for 12 years, I was doing things like reunions and I was meeting people, I was talking to people, and people would give me things or they would donate me things. And in fact, when I had moved back to Aberlour, I remember meeting my old doctor who had been my orphanage doctor, but he lived in the village. And he was the village doctor, but he used to look after the kids in Aberlour. I can't say that he remembered me specifically, but that's okay because there was lots of other kids. And I didn't have that many specific diseases that would stand out as making me any special. But when he knew that I came from Aberlour and that I was doing a reunion, he invited me up to his house. Now, this Dr. Caldwell was, I would say, within a few months of dying himself anyway. But he wanted me to have a silver goblet that had been donated to Canon Jupp in 1871 or 2 or something like that. So that's actually the oldest thing, the oldest artifact that I have. Now, when I asked the doctor how he came about it, it was well known throughout the village that when Aberlour actually was sold and the grounds were the properties were all split up, and the first thing that happened to the orphanage buildings as such is they were demolished. So when the buildings were demolished, there was a huge kind of, I don't know what the word is, but it was like a fire sale of all the things that were in the orphanage. And there was an awful lot of things just lying about that people from the village would come up and uplift. And some of them would be more interested in timber and stone for their buildings. Others would be more interested in papers and documents that were lying about the place. There was a bit of a fire sale in the orphanage, and the way it was sold was not a good reflection on the Aberlour Child Care Trust. Bearing in mind, of course, that the trust itself never came into being until quite a few years after the orphanage sold. But there was no, it just seemed to be a case of the orphanage is closing and there's the date. And when the date came and the building was sold, it was then demolished. And when it was demolished, it was almost as if everything within the orphanage was just left where it was. And nobody really wanted to be responsible for uplifting it, removing it. So the villagers kind of helped themselves. And I think that goblet that I got hold of from Dr. Caldwell was one of these artifacts. It was better for him to save it than it to be crushed under a digger's bucket, you know. I think this is not really what you're asking me, but I think again it's another bad reflection on how Aberlour worked at that time when they decided to sell the place. Now there was quite a furore why they were closing anyway, but there was an even bigger furore in how they closed it, and it still sticks in an awful lot of people's throats, the fact that they simply sold the building. It was sold to a builder who was from Wales, and he wanted to take the orphanage stone by stone down to Wales and rebuild the orphanage in Wales somewhere. Seems an absolutely fantastic idea. Fantastic stupid, but not fantastic good. So of course he demolished it and then promptly went bust. So the buildings lay about for years, all broken up and demolished it. But the only thing that left standing was the clock tower, and some of the locals managed to get the Moray Council to put a building preservation order onto it, and to secure the tower. So the clock tower still stands. Bear in mind that the clock tower was the centre of the orphanage buildings, whereby on its right you would have the girls, to its left you would have the girls' wing and the church, and to its right you would have the boys' wing and the playing fields beyond. And to the back of it you would have the farms and the farming lands and buildings behind that, with the school in the centre. And the clock tower was the centre of the school. So it's quite poignant that the clock tower remains, because when I go back up to Aberlour, it's the one thing I want to see when I go there. Some people do go back to the orphanage having had a relative in it, let's say in the 20s, the 30s, whatever, and they're disappointed to find that the building's gone. But things move on and things happen in life, you know, and I don't think things can stay the same forever. So whilst I'm not sad that the orphanage buildings have gone, it's good to have a reminder that there is a clock tower and there is a memorial garden to see what was there before, even although most of it's now gone. But I don't think you can reasonably expect to have the orphanage building still standing, waiting for somebody to come and walk through the corridors of their childhood.